May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a strong instinct in all of us when trouble comes. We want to go home. Home is where we feel safe and secure, and there is the best place to come to terms with the trouble overwhelming us. After Good Friday, some of the disciples did just that. They headed north, back to the Galilee to pick up the pieces, to lick their wounds, to adjust to a new normal. But it was on the way back home when two or three of them met Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And when that happened, they turned around and headed back to Jerusalem again. The story in today's gospel picks up where the disciples were assembling, probably in the upper room in Jerusalem, to talk about all those peculiar things that were happening to some of them. And Jesus appeared. He stood among them, the Bible tells us. And they were startled and frightened. Of course they were. How could this be? What on earth will happen next? What does it all mean? Well, they are very much like us. For the community of Christ, the church of today is having to evaluate and discern its role in a society that does not regard it as highly as it once did. And now, at a time when we are forced to be together by being apart, behind closed doors, having to worship online and modifying our sacramental life. For most people, that means not being able to receive Holy Communion on a regular basis, which is a source of sadness and of loss. With so much discussion about the church's future, we must keep ourselves focused on the essentials. For then, as now, the essential is Jesus. What can we say in 2021? And maybe more important, what can we do in our time that will attract the attention of people to this man Jesus, whose peace has touched us in such a way that we are compelled to gather, even on our computer screens and phones, to worship him? How can we describe or show what we have found or what we are searching to find to our neighbors, to our community, and even to our families? And when we think twice, we realize that this living Christ is never the captive of our words or thoughts. He is standing daily among us. Luke tells it like this. While they were saying this, discussing it all, Jesus himself stood among them. Their response is significant. Luke says they supposed they had seen a ghost. The definition of a ghost in the Oxford English Dictionary is the soul of a dead person in Hades appearing to the living. Well, surely to see Christ's risen presence as a kind of ghost is to believe in something intangible, a thing from the past that comes and goes from our experience. It must make us ask the question, is this how we see Jesus? As a past reality who just comes and goes from time to time. In the post-resurrection appearance in today's gospel, and indeed all of the post-resurrection appearances, Jesus challenges the disciples at the point of their greatest vulnerability. He emphasized that he is no ghost. He walked with them. He engaged them. See my hands and my feet. You can even touch them if you want. Well, that's no ghost from the dark basement or the dusty attic. Then he put in the clincher. Have you anything to eat? Have you anything to eat? And they gave him some broiled fish, and he ate it before them. It is as if our Lord wanted this simple act of eating to provide the ultimate assurance of his reality to that community, frightened and behind the doors of the upper room. Without physical eating and drinking, we will die. Without spiritual eating and drinking, our souls wither and die as well. At times when we can gather here for the Holy Eucharist as a gathered community, we experience this intimately as we hear a voice say the simple but profound statement over and over again, the body, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ given for you. Most of you are partaking of the Blessed Sacrament through the means of spiritual communion. But I remind us all of the experience of Terry Waite, who, while locked in prison for days and days on end with nothing available to him but his knowledge of the communion service, he felt that he received Christ fully and sacramentally when he prayed the words of the prayer book communion service each and every day. And may I suggest that always, always, whether we are gathered in here physically or at home, we must always enter into the act of communion spiritually, feeding on him in our heart by faith with thanksgiving. But as soon as he eats with them, St. Luke tells us he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And so it is at the very beginning of the church's life, Jesus offers the second great source of grace for the future. The keeping and telling of the tradition is to be important in the future gatherings of this group. The first telling of the story, the old telling or testament, enshrined in the scrolls of the synagogue, points to the joy of the resurrection event now being acted out in this upper room. The second, or new telling, had yet to be written. And so it is from the very beginning, we have word and we have sacrament, the two great foundation stones of all that is to come. Both are embodied in Jesus himself as the living word, the living bread. Both are laid down by him in this second resurrection encounter. They are above all to be shared, to be passed on, as Luke says in this gospel. They should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. The people who are witnesses of these things are to pass them on. And in this one sentence, our Lord names the third foundation stone for the future. As well as word and sacrament, he now adds mission. Well, what is mission? There are many for whom the answer is crystal clear. Mission is bringing others into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But my sense is that there is much more to it than that. First of all, it's not really a matter of bringing others in. And frankly, we can get so caught up in the desire to have more people in church that we can forget what they are coming to experience. Really, it's more a matter of living and worshiping in such a way that shows that we have been touched by God. And a good reminder to us is this. It's not the church of God that has a mission. Rather, it is the God of mission who is alive in and through the church and well beyond it. Mission is going forth with the message of the good news in word and in deed. Mission can be simple and complex, personal and political, rewarding and costly. It is for each of us personally and all of us together. Then there comes a phrase not included in today's gospel. In the next sentence, Luke says, Jesus told the disciples to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. 21 centuries later, that directive has very special significance. Our task as followers of Jesus is still to stay in the city. And that small word city means the complexities of the houses and the apartments and condos and businesses in this diverse community. How do we connect with people around us, some of whom are so desperately lonely and confused and disconnected? Who are the people around us? How do we become a faithful conversation partner and build relationships? How do we express a clear Christian vision? Mission is sharing the good news, and we do it because we have good news to share. The friendship we have with others, the sacramental presence of the Lord for our personal nourishment and for the life of the world, the offer of hope to the hopeless, mercy to the sinner, and a companion in Christ whose love will never let us go. If what the risen Lord said to the community of followers in those early days is being said to the Christian community now, then it should serve us as grace to perform whatever needs to be done to live joyfully, hopefully, in this urban, complex time and place, because this is where our mission is to be found. Jesus himself stood among them. He stands among us today. He stands in this community, in this city of Toronto. He beckons us to believe that the resurrection is not a figment of overtired imaginations. He beckons us today to see that his Holy Spirit is already alive and present in the people who surround this church. He beckons us to be courageous and to bear witness to that good news in whatever ways we can think of in the world he loves so very much and for which he came to save. May the way we live and worship and work communicate Christ's peace to this community. Amen.